We are talking all things art and all things culture. And specifically, we are talking about white guilt 2.0. So embedded in Thai culture are various hand gestures, each with distinctive meanings. So solo exhibition White Guilt 2.0 by artist Nathan Beard unpacks the cultural associations and idiosyncrasies of some of these hand gestures. So in the show, Beard develops gestures through a unique set of cultural anxieties that influence his approach to his Thai Australian heritage. So White Guilt 2.0 brings a beautiful selection of photographs and sculptures to First Draft for their March exhibitions. So joining us on the line to give us a little bit more insight into the show is Nathan himself, all the way from Perth. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Nicole.
So I think a good place to start is White Guilt is kind of embedded with symbolism and associations of the why, if I'm saying that correctly. So yep, can you describe what that is and kind of what that means for you?
Yeah, so the why is a customary greeting in Thai culture. So you would recognize it from any sorts of imagery of cultural tourism to Thailand. It's when you greet someone, you clasp your hands in front of you and sort of like a prayer-like gesture. And it sort of dates back to around the 12th century as an indication that you weren't armed. And so what I thought was interesting was I have always sort of felt uneasy around performing the why around my mother's family and Thai friends especially, just purely because growing up in Australia, it always felt not like a, but like a secondary, sorry, not like a primary gesture. It just never felt automatic for me. It always felt like there was some element of cultural performance or being put on show. So I think my own sense of unease around it was interesting for me to try to unpack.
And did you find that you kind of came to any revelations through like kind of confronting your unease through creating this exhibition?
I think what I ended up sort of settling on was this sense of the sense of unease around performing it probably had a lot to do with extraneous circumstances about performing my own sense of cultural otherness within an Australian context. And I'm thinking specifically when I was a kid growing up, it would have been, you know, in the early to mid 90s. And when I started being conscious around my mother being Thai and how that othered her was when I was in primary school. And there was also a lot of rhetoric around like One Nation's sort of like scare tactics around the Asian Australian population coming in and stealing jobs. And I know that there was definitely that sort of trickle-down effect. The teasing and all that sort of stuff wasn't like super, it wasn't severe or anything like that compared to what other people would have experienced. But it definitely sort of raised a consciousness about that. So I think in processing my unease around it, I sort of had to sort of dive into a lot of the circumstances around it, I guess, that made me sort of approach it cautiously.
And so in exploring the why, you've created a really amazing series of photographs kind of featuring hands with really long fake nails holding orchids. Can you talk us through these aesthetic choices and what led you to them?
Yeah, so I became interested in this idea of cultural performance and performativity. And when I think about sort of the way that hand gestures are incorporated into a lot of like national arts in Thailand, particularly dance and performance, it's all about hand gestures performing these really nice extensions that are symbolic of like flowers and plants and things like that. And I always had at the back of my head my mom saying that my hands were sort of naturally like beautifully curved, and that if I was born in Thailand as a girl, I would have been able to be a good sort of Thai dancer. She'd always joke about that with me. And so when I was thinking about how idea of cultural performance and performativity, is using my untrained hands to try to approximate the different positions in traditional Thai dance led to that series of photographs. The reason I've used the nails is a reference to brass finger extensions. So traditional Thai dancers wear these brass nail, brass finger extensions that are meant to elongate the form of the hand. And so my approach to it was using fake nails and then adorning those in different patterns and techniques to sort of allude to that. The orchids are symbolic because of their association with, I guess, cultural promotion and tourism in Thailand as well. So those orchids are all over marketing for like the national airline, Thai Airways. They're always associated with Thai businesses as well. Like if you look up just like Thai orchid and Google it in like your local hometown, you end up coming up with these like countless hits for like Thai massage or Thai restaurants. So incorporating those into these photographs was just a way of drawing in those different relationships.
I'm interested in, and this is kind of for personal reasons because I love the color purple, but it's yeah. It's very purple. Is that, does that mean anything, or is that just a natural kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a symbolism of the color as well. So that royal purple comes up a lot in Thai, just sort of like Thai branding, Thai cultural branding. You always see that sort of deep royal purple. And it's always sort of like different Pantone shades of purple are always like Siamese when they're sort of that sort of spectrum of colour as well.
And so these images are also paired with some sculptures and some other photographs outside of this series. How do these works kind of converse in the space, and what dialogue were you hoping to create here?
Yeah, so specifically with the this body of work, I was always wanting to produce a really dense layer of textures in the gallery and sort of use them only on sort of two planes. So in first draft in gallery two, it works really perfectly because the two walls where all the work is hung as a series of, in the installation, they meet to that corner point. So the idea was sort of being able to format everything so that if you were looking at it from any sort of vantage point, it's just sort of like accretion and overwhelming layering of different like media and techniques. So incorporating the sculptural element was a way of being able to add sort of depth to that as well. It was also a way to be able to physically model the decorations that I was using for the photographs as well, just being able to play with that sort of in and outside of the picture frame, the pictorial frame. I think that's why there's different textures of photographs. So you've got photos that are mounted onto aluminium, you've got photos that are framed behind acrylic or non-reflective glass, you've got prints on wall vinyl, and you've got prints on paper that are directly pinned into the wall as well. So it's just sort of trying to create this really visually extravagant way of kind of communicating this sort of overwhelming sense of themes and concepts that I was sort of drawing upon when I'm trying to unpack my own personal affiliation with sort of just something as simple as the hand gesture within a culture.
And so one of those major themes is kind of this idea of authenticity as well as inauthenticity, which kind of underscores the exhibition asking questions about the shifting nature of an authentic, in inverted commas, Thai culture. Can you shed a little bit of light about that idea of authenticity and how it kind of informs your work?
Yeah. The approach to the culture really draws upon sort of looking at the historical influences of what is deemed a national Thai culture. So within within Thai culture, this idea of tyness is sort of part of a, it's part of the national identity, and it's one of the three sort of foundations of Thai culture itself, is this idea of like how Thai something is and how authentically Thai something is. But historically, Thai culture is a hybrid of different influences ranging from sort of Indian and Chinese cultures. And in the 20th century, particularly with the increase of globalization as well, that's obviously shifting the boundaries of what is and isn't authentically Thai. When you look at something like Pad Thai, that was created in the mid-20th century because they wanted to produce a national dish. And so it was a competition that was held in order to sort of like create an iconic dish for Thailand. And so I think a lot of it historically has to do with the fact that Thailand historically never was colonized. Instead, what they did was adopt Western political maneuvering and exchange of land and that sort of thing in order to sort of resist being colonized by the French or the English. And so this sort of slipperiness, this adeptness at being able to shift culturally, I think, just finds a really interesting, and that is sort of like my position growing up in Australia with the influence of the Thai mum. It just feels sort of analogous to that sort of broader historical context. The really interesting thing for me was that my mum, all through her life in Thailand and Australia, was definitely incorporating elements of Thai culture into the domestic space. Her home was full of shrines, the garden was full of Thai plants and vegetables, and just sort of her way of incorporating that into a foreign context. And then that was the context that I was growing up with. So subjectively, you know, for me, like that feels authentically Thai because it speaks of this direct matrilineal line.
And I think I have time for one last question, which kind of is the kind of opposite of that. But White Guilt 2.0 also kind of presents an investigation into your own kind of sense of whiteness. I'm interested in how this artistic practice or like this artistic process, what that kind of revealed for you about like your own whiteness and how that may have transformed through creating this work, etc.
Yeah. I think in the process of researching this body of work, it just sort of became more and more obvious that what I was doing was applying this filter of trying to understand and position myself in relationship to a culture, and this sort of like struggle to sort of process this sort of anxiety around authenticity and cultural performance. I think that in and of itself is a condition of whiteness. This self politicking of trying to negotiate that sort of cultural space and determine what are sort of like acceptable boundaries within it and around it. So I think that that's an interesting position to sort of start from, and then through the process of making and designing the sort of visual layers within the show, sort of have fun with that and subvert the expectations of that. So I think what the work ultimately positions itself as is sort of, I guess, a celebration.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you've got like the kind of extravagant imagery and colour and that kind of thing. It definitely transforms into a celebratory kind of mood.
Yeah, it's an explosion of sort of like influences and trying to make them, so I'm trying to bring a sort of levity to the way that it's presented, knowing that it's ultimately sort of dealing with this sort of deeply sort of personal and complex sort of strategizing and positioning.
Yeah, there's that duality there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning, Nathan. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you and hear about the work.
All right, thank you for having me and for seeing the work.
anytime. So we've just been speaking about White Guilt 2.0, which is a solo exhibition from Nathan Beard. You can see the show at First Draft from now until March 27th. And the artist talk for the show is on the 26th of March from 6 to 7 p.m. if you'd like to hear more from Nathan there.